go ahead. We're just going to preach. We're going to skip the mess or the offering tonight. If you want to give an offering, just give it to Missy when you're over with. Lord, we just bless anything and ask your blessing, Lord, on anything that we would give financially, Father. For every tithe, for every offering, God, we praise you for it. We praise you, Lord, that you've given us to give. And Father, that even as we give, Lord, that we shall receive in accordance with what we give. We thank you, Lord, for the tithe, to rebuke the devourer, to open the windows of heaven. Father, to bring us into the promised land as a mark of our deliverance. And Father, to establish your kingdom in the earth. We thank you, Lord, for our offerings. Father, that you will cause them to increase and cause a harvest to return to us in every area of life. And we praise you, Father, for these things in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Well, I'm going to throw what I had prepared out. And I know a couple verses I want to go to. Go to Joel as soon as I find it. And I'll explain what's going on tonight. Where is Joel? I know where Joel is. I'm kind of in a different realm yet. Hallelujah. That helps me a lot. I can't find Hosea right now. Joel, it's on page 1304. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I think I want to go to 1306, actually. Yes, 1306. If you've got the right Bible. Joel chapter 2, for those listening on tape and don't understand what's going on, Joel chapter 2. I'm reading ahead because I just want to see what all this says. Yeah, praise God. The Lord gave me about 3 weeks ago now, Joel chapter 2, verse 25. Oh my, that's good. Hallelujah. He says, "So I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust. And my great army which I sent among you, you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God who has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be put to shame. Then you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. I am the Lord your God and there is no other. My people shall never be put to shame." Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Debbie and I were talking the other day, and I said, "Man, I remember meetings we used to have years ago where we would roll on the floor." And I remember the pastor from Somerset came down, and he would hit me first, and I'd be on the altar and just on the platform, and I'd just be rolling. I couldn't move, and he would be down here on the main floor, and couldn't move. And I remember we would point at each other, and it's just like we were shooting darts at each other. And when we would point, the other one would break into laughter. And we couldn't stop it. And we just kept going back and forth and back and forth, and we would just laugh. And part of what is going on tonight is this word that God gave to me 3 weeks ago. He is restoring. He is restoring, hallelujah. He is bringing back to us the former things. And it's like, man, get in the flow. Get in the flow. Because I believe there was some healing going on tonight. There is just a flow of the Spirit. When Roxanne, you know, we were singing, "Let the Healing Waters Flow," and Roxanne said, "Step forward." And I stepped forward, and I stepped into water. I could see it splashing around my feet again. I haven't seen since that for a long time. But there's a flow. And it's because of God's timing. It's also because of our diligence. It's because of our faith. It's because of calling on God. But God is in the process of restoring. And even last week with the service we had Sunday morning, it's just like we got a breakthrough that we haven't had for a long time. God, we keep saying God is in the house, and He is, and He blesses us in small ways, but He's preparing us for a flow again. He's getting us back into that ring. And we've got to get rid of the old defeatist mentality. Well, I haven't had that. Yes, we have. And we've got to see the potential. And we've got to see that God is moving. Now faith causes things to move and causes things to change. But at the same time, we cannot look for the manifestation to see if it's working. And the two come together. There's a time when the sower and the harvester come at the same time. When, you know, you can spend years sowing seed. And that's what we've been doing for a long time. We've been sowing seed and sowing seed and sowing seed. And we're getting to the point now, we've sown enough seed. Not that you never stop sowing seed. But while you're sowing seed, the harvester is coming along. And we're in the time where we're kind of catching up with the harvester maybe. But we're sowing seed and we're getting into the harvest. And we've got sowing seed and the harvest starting to come together. And I've never seen it that way before, but that's the breakthrough. That's the breakout. That's when things begin to change. And, you know, some people are content to just sow seed all of their life. But if you do that, there will come a time when you will run into the harvester and the two start happening together. Hallelujah. Oh, that's good. Praise God. Praise God. But he's restoring. He's restoring to us what the years of the swarming locust. I don't know about you, but it's felt like a swarm. And there was more than one. You know, I don't know how many a swarm make. Do you know how many a swarm makes? A bunch. That's all you need to know. It's a bunch. And he said, I don't know the break. I know some people have done a real study on this. I can't remember that. But the swarming locust, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust. There's four different kinds of locusts, and they each devour different parts. You have it? She's got somebody's notes here. Oh, this is what one person said. The swarm of locusts is gossips. Just spreading gossip around because they swarm. You know how people that gossip, they love to share everything that they know, even if they don't know it. The crawling locusts are those that lie and deceive. They just spread rumors and they work to deceive others. The consuming locusts, this really makes sense. The consuming locusts are the users and the abusers. They come in just to get what they want, but they never contribute anything. They just come in and they use you, they'll abuse you. And the chewing locusts are the complainers. They just kind of chew and, yeah, they like to be here. And I know among the locusts, there's different types of locusts. And some of them will eat the leaves. And some of them will eat the stalk. And some of them will eat the root. And you can survive one swarm of locusts if they only eat the leaves, because the plant's healthy enough, it'll come back and put the leaves out. But when they start eating the stalk, it gets harder. But the ones that eat the root, the plant can never recover when the root gets devoured. And, you know, those are things that, you know, we've had, you know, we can stand it when the devil just comes and attacks a little bit and takes away some of the fluff. We can handle that. That's no big deal. But then he comes and eats the stalk. And that's feels like that's the core. Well, it's not the core because it's not the root. But if you don't watch it, they'll come along and eat the root. And then you don't have anything left. You've got to go back to seed. And you've got to start from the ground up again. So God is delivering us. He's restoring us. Amen? Yeah. Excuse me. From all those things that has happened to us, God is in the process of restoring. I like 26. He said, "You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied." Well, plenty means a lot. Amen. That means overflow. That means in abundance. You eat in plenty. Hallelujah. We shared this morning how God sets a table before us and has bread and oil and wine on it at the very least. And the bread is healing, the wine is the oil is the oil of joy, and the wine is the work of the Holy Spirit in us. So God has that on our table, and he says he prepares it in the presence of our enemy. And we need to go and eat of that table again. Amen. He says, "And there's my people shall never be put to shame." The other scripture that came up to me, bring it back to me now, Lord. Well, let's go to Revelation. Oh, yeah, that was right. Let's go to Revelation. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And in Revelation, in chapter 2, This is another scripture the Lord brought to me several months ago now. He says, to the angel of the church of Ephesus, write, these things says, he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands, I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. You have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered, we feel like it's preserved, but you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my namesake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. And he says after that, you know, remember therefore from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. And we started asking the Lord, you know, well, what's our first love? Have you ever just forgot what the first love was? And it's like, okay, is it doctrine? Is it right doctrine? Is it, well, we used to do these things, and we start looking at works and things we did. But the first love is when we came to God, there was such an excitement in us to be in His house. Just when you read His word, there was such an excitement, just such an enjoyment of it. And we would hoop and holler and everything, you know. And it was so neat to remember our first love. And to get back to that point again, it's not what we do, it's the attitude that we come to God with. It's that attitude of excitement, of anticipation, of expectation, that when we come to God, something is going to happen when we get together. Because you've heard us talk about that. You know, boy, when we used to get together, things happened. God moved. Well, God's been moving. My little children, I'm here among you. Thank you, Lord. Well, your Bible tells us where two or three gather, there are you in their midst. And it's like, but sometimes we have to hear God say, little children, I'm with you. Hello. You know, it's like, well, thank you, Lord. But the first love goes beyond that. That first love, you know, if you've ever fallen in love, it's like, man, you just want to be with that person. You don't care if you don't do anything. You are just excited to be with them. You just love to be with them. You just get excited. You know, David said, I rejoice when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. Well, he's in love with the Lord. He knew if I can get in the presence of God, something good is going to happen to me. Amen? And that's part of our first love. I can't wait to get to church because something's going to happen today. And the canker worm, the locust, they all like to come against those things with all that stuff. But we know when in our first love, you know, it's like, I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what happens. If I can only see them in the midst of the hurricane, I'm going to get in the midst of the hurricane to see them, because we will not be parted. I mean, it's just that desire to press through, to do things, and not stuff, but to be with God. And that produces something that you can't reproduce in the natural. You don't reproduce it by having more meetings. You don't reproduce it by better teaching or by different teaching. There's some places that I've been to, it's like, man, the teaching's kind of, you know, the worship's kind of, but God's there. And there's such an excitement. God does things and moves just because the people are full of expectation. They're just amazed about it, and when they get together, things begin to happen. And I think God's been in the process for several months of restoring our first love, bringing us back to that point again of not just expectation, but a hunger, a hunger, a desire to see those things come again. And tonight, like I said, we haven't had a meeting like this for a long time, just where the spirit fell, and we had laughter. We had people going on prostrate on the floor, and don't want to lose anything here. Woo! Glory to God. But God's doing it. He's touching hearts. Amen. He's touching us. He's stirring that up. Oh, that's what that felt like. Yeah, I remember this. Because sometimes it just gets dull. Sometimes it's easy to go through the motion, go through the activity. And it's like, yeah, I still expect things to happen. But, boy, we used to expect God to show up. And He did. And He still does. You know, He still does. And it's like, oh, God, you're here. What do we do now? You know, it's like, well, just follow me. And when you do, He takes you places. He does things in your midst. Why? Because He just loves it. He loves showing himself off. He loves showing himself off in us and doing things for us. He enjoys it. It's not a difficult thing. You know, we talked about Hannah this morning going and begging God and crying and everything. And it's like we get into that routine and we think we're being spiritual, but that doesn't impress God. He loves it when we just come laughing and running up to him. I remember my dad, after I was in the ministry, I talked to Dad and said, Dad, what did you do to get your messages? Because I was just curious, because different people get messages different way. And he said, I'll tell you, it was real hard, because he said, every time I went in my office to study, he said, I'd get my books out, and this little boy I had kept crawling up in my lap and wanted to be right there in my lap while I did all my study. I don't remember that at all. I have no memories of that. But it's like, I just love to be around the Word of God as a youth, you know, whatever. But it's just, it's that kind of desire to just be with God. And that's a first love. I've always loved just going to churches. And Debbie and I have commented several times. Even when I was a student minister, and we go to different churches and just preach on different things, I was usually the last one out. I'd follow the pastor out the door. I'd close the door and lock it behind the pastor. I'd do that behind the deacons. Because I just always have loved church. It's almost like I hate leaving. Because there's just something unique about the church building, about the place where this is where God does things. And I've always had that excitement in me. I still love to come to church. I just love being in the presence of the people. It excites me. It stirs something on the inside of me just to be around people that love the Lord. I know you guys find this really hard, but you know, when I'm outside of church situations, I don't really talk as much as I do in church. I know you're looking at me. It's like, but when I'm out of the environment, it's like I just sit and listen, and I may have some things to say, but it's like a lot of times I'll keep them to myself. But boy, you get me talking about God, I'm just chomping at the bit to get in it. It's like I can't hardly hold my peace, and I have to, you know how I am, and every now and then I just have to. Okay, they're talking. Don't interrupt while they're talking. And that is so hard to do. I don't know how good I would do anymore sitting in the congregation, because I'd say, ooh, 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 ooh. I got something to, yeah, I see that. And here's something else to add to it. You know, it's like, I got to wait. He'll get to it eventually. They'll get around to it. But it's just that excitement about God stirring things on the inside of us. That's the restoration. That's the work of God. Amen. The final scripture I want to take you to is Luke 4. Luke 4, 18. Familiar scripture. Jesus got up to preach and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me." Oh, what an awesome thing. You know, we need to have that attitude when we come to church. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. And he has anointed me. I mean, you can just have fun in the anointment. You can just have fun in the anointing. You know, we think, oh, God's going to call me to do. Just have fun in it. That's the first thing to begin to realize, I think, about God, is that we can have fun with God. We can talk to him. We can ask him questions. You know, there's fun. Gary gets in the anointing, you know, at home. And God gives him poems. It's fun, isn't it? You know, how do you come up with that? And it's like, I don't know. But it's when the anointing comes, it just flows. It's like there's no effort to it. It just begins to come. It just begins to flow. And we need to get back into that attitude with God of stepping in that anointing. Just have fun. Just enjoy his presence. Oh, thank you, Lord, that you've come. Thank you, God, that you've shown up. Thank you, God, that you're blessing that other person. Thank you, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And just get into that presence of God, of just enjoying that he's here. Because it's easy sometimes to begin to look around and say, oh, Lord, you're blessing that person. Why isn't it me? Well, it'll come on you if you just get into it. If you just begin to enjoy it, if you just say, thank you, Lord, thank you that you are here, and begin to get excited about getting in his presence. It's real. It's tangible. And I know that's the hardest thing to convince people of. And when they haven't experienced the anointing, when they don't really understand it, it's hard to tell them. It's really a lot of fun up front. It really is. It's a lot of fun during the singing when you come up to the front and just stand there and raise up your, well, I don't want to be embarrassed, but it's like you forget about everybody else around, don't you? It's just you and God. What does that mean? You're in the anointing. You're in that secret place where it's just you and God. You don't care what anybody else does, what anybody else says, and you don't care how long it takes because you're just having fun. Hallelujah. You're just enjoying it. The Spirit of the Lord is on us, and He has anointed us. You know, Jesus was saying, oh, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. Hallelujah. You know, and He has anointed me for a great and noble task. He didn't say that at all. I think Jesus enjoyed it. I think Jesus had the anointing come on Him when He was young. I don't believe that this was the first time it happened. You know, He was used to it. He was accustomed to it, but He knew it was God. And He knew how to enjoy it and how to walk in it and how to do things in that anointing. And, you know, the anointing was always on Him. Think about this. The anointing was always on Him because with the woman with the issue of blood, Jesus is leaving. He's walking done. The ministry's done. They got their bags packed. They're leaving the village, you know. And the woman with the issue of blood comes up and grabs hold of Him. And there was still enough residue that she got healed. And He felt virtue flow out of Him. Well, you can't have virtue flow out if you don't have it.
That's right.
So He's walking in that virtue all the time. And some people tapped into it and some people didn't. Some people, the disciples remember, they said, well, Lord, who touched you? Because He turned around and said, who touched me? He said, Lord, how can we tell? There's a crowd. And they were bumping into everybody. And you know how crowds are, and they just kind of keep bumping into each other. He said, Lord, how can we tell who bumped into you? He said, someone bumped into me. And He doesn't mean that someone just rubbed up against His cloak. Someone got a hold of me. Someone drew an anointing from me. And I want to know who it was. You know, when you begin to draw from God, He's going to want a witness.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
He's going to want you to tell somebody, this is what happened. And that's what He's looking for this woman. Why? Because she got healed, but she could lose that healing if she doesn't make confession. If she doesn't tell somebody about it, she could lose that healing because it can come and it can go. So He asked because He wants her to stay healed. He knows what happened. So who was it that touched me? You know, I don't really know if Jesus didn't know or if He's just given her the chance to come forward. But at any rate, she finally said, Lord, I came forward. And she began to tell the story. Lord, I've been to doctors. I've had an issue of bleeding. And I've been to doctors and I've spent all my money. I don't have anything left. And they didn't do a thing for me. But I knew if I touched the hem of your garment, I'd be made whole. And Jesus said, you're made whole by your faith. He confirmed it. Said, you've got the word of the Lord on it now. Not just hope, not just, you've got the word of the Lord. Why, she tapped into that anointing, you know, into the presence of the Lord. So that anointing was on Jesus all the time. Well, we can walk in that anointing all the time through praise and glory, but through appreciation. God, I thank you that you're with me. Thank you, God, that you abide with me. I thank you, God, that you'll never leave me, never forsake me. We can learn how to live in that anointing and live in that presence. So when we come to church, we just get squeezed a little bit and that honey that will just come out. Just squeeze a little bit. Ooh, ooh, there's some of that oil coming out. Ooh, ooh, ooh. You know, it's just like a full jar. And if it's real full, you try to take the lid off, it'll just spill. And you just can't help it because it's just so full. There's nothing you can do to stop it from coming out. We need to learn to live that way. We need to learn to live in that anointing so that if anybody comes up and puts any pressure on us at all, the oil, the anointing of God just begins to overflow. Because I can tell some of you, it works at work for you. You know, that's why you have favor. I mean, when you start working there and they're hunting around for someone to to put in the position that you have now, they're looking around at everybody. And there was such strife and everything that they didn't want anybody in that position. And they said, we're going to choose Missy. We're going to put her in that spot. Why? It's the anointing. It makes a way for us. And we don't even recognize it. It's just we become so accustomed to it, we don't even recognize that we're different. And so we don't appreciate all the time the power of that anointing or the working of that anointing, because it's just normal. Well, it's just who I am in Christ. In Christ is who you are. But you take Christ away, it won't work for you. You don't get those favors. You don't get those benefits because Christ is the one who gives them to us. Amen? Well, he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. That anointing is on us to demonstrate the things of God, the work of God, his blessing. It's not about us. The first time we begin to think that the anointing is about us, we lose the anointing. It's him. It's Christ working through us, but it's Christ. And you can enjoy it. And sometimes we feel bad. Well, you know, I don't want to take any credit. Well, don't take the credit. Just enjoy it. Just enjoy it. Just have fun. If someone's, like with Gary with the poems, you say, well, Gary, you really write good poems. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you. You know, it's just like, you know, you know you had a part in it, but it's like, but I know this is God. I know this is God. You know, I'm not trying to boast or anything, but a lot of times I have people come and I say, boy, you really preach good. It's like, I'm not trying to preach. Yeah, I'm not trying to do something. I'm not trying to work. It's like I heard back this morning said, I was just having too much fun this morning. But, you know, sometimes you just do. Sometimes you just enjoy it. And you have to watch yourself because you can just get so caught up in it that you forget that there's other things to do. Because it's just fun. It's fun to be in the presence of the Lord. It's fun to be the apple of his eye. It's fun. Take delight in it. That's the first love. That's that restoring of the first love. That is that restoring what the locust has eaten. It's beginning to enjoy being with God all over again. Like it's the first time. Oh, thank you, Lord. 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 Let's stand up. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for restoration. Thank you, God, for healing all of those worn places in us. Thank you, God, for filling us up to overflow. Thank you, God, for healing the inner wounds. Thank you, God, for taking away the hurt and taking away the pain. Thank you, Lord, that your oil fills us up. God, that your oil flows through us and out of us. Oh, thank you, Lord, for fresh life, for a life that we can laugh and enjoy and smile about. Even in adverse times, God, that you still give us joy. Joy, joy, joy. For Lord, joy is our strength. Oh, we praise you, Father. We thank you, God, for this evening. We thank you, God, for the outpouring of your Spirit. We thank you, Father, for laughter. We thank you, Lord, for healing. We thank you, God, for liberty, a spirit of liberty, freedom from this world, freedom from all the junk, all the dumb things, freedom, God, from gossips and liars, Father, and users and abusers. And Lord, we are free of these things, free of them, God, Lord, because the Spirit of the Lord is on us, and we are anointed of God. We are anointed of God because you are with us, God. Praise you, praise you, praise you, God. Praise you. Many believe that my anointing comes only for the work of ministry, but my anointing comes as a blessing to you. My anointing begins to heal all those dry places, all those empty places. It fills them up. My anointing allows you to live above the things of this world. For you are in the world, but you're not of it. And that's why the anointing comes, to help you live and understand that you are above the things of the world. But many people are afraid of that anointing because they'll say, well, if I receive the anointing, then I have to be in ministry and I have to be in the fivefold ministry. Where in my word does it say that only the fivefold are anointed? Where is that verse? For I don't remember ever saying that, says the Lord. For my anointing comes to enable you to live above the things of this world, to overcome every attack of the enemy, and to learn to live triumphant by my anointing, says the Lord of hosts. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. Praise you, praise you, praise you, praise you, praise you, praise you. Praise you, Father. Praise you, God. The picture I'm getting, when I was in the fourth grade, I read a lot of biographies, biographies and autobiographies, and one of them that I loved was about Geronimo. And this is a story about Geronimo as a young child, because as a child, they would play war games. And if they would paint the tips of the arrows with the red or with a stain so that they could tell if you got hit. You know, it's kind of like paintball today. And what Geronimo did is he'd strip down to a loincloth, okay, and then he would grease his body up so that when he was hit, he could rub it a little bit and the color would go away because of the oil, because it would spread around. And so Geronimo always won. You know, and nobody could figure out why. That's the anointing. That's the anointing. It's the anointing of God that when you get hit, you can just rub a little bit, and that anointing takes that discoloration away, and nobody even knows you were hit. It's that living in the anointing. It's that anointing that protects us, that allows us to win every time. And not suffer defeat. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the anointing. Thank you, Lord, God, that you've given that anointing for us to live and to have life and to enjoy it in the name of Jesus. Well, Father, we thank you. Lord, we pray that that anointing would be a thing that we are constantly aware of. I'm sorry, it's a person. That your anointing of the Holy Spirit, Father, your person, that we would become so aware of your presence with us, that it would be fresh oil to heal us, and Father, to remove every mark of the enemy, that we would win every single time. Let us be aware and practice walking in that anointing, that we could have real joy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, 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 amen. God bless you. Praise the Lord.